Okay, good morning everyone. Today's daf is daf Chav Gimel in Avodah Zarah. We started yesterday the second parak of Avodah Zarah, we continue. After finishing yesterday's daf, I was very thankful and grateful that we finished it. The Gemara got a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit embarrassing, and then I thought to myself, there's no possible way that the Gemara could get any more embarrassing and any more uncomfortable, and of course, sad to say, I'm absolutely wrong. Couldn't be any more wrong, and as we'll see in just a moment, the next few lines of Gemara. But before we touch on those next few lines of Gemara, so let's just set ourselves up for more uncomfortability. The Gemara says in the Mishnah, first Mishnah, the second Perek, that you can't stable your animals by the non-Jews, by the idolaters. And the Mishnah gives us the reason, because they are chashud al ha-raviyah, which means that they are very into bestiality. They're very into Mishka Behema. And you put your animal by them, and it's too strong a temptation, and you just violate the Isser of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. You place the stumbling back in front of the Akum by just leaving the animal over there. And the Gemara yesterday went through all different types of permutations, placing a female animal in front of a stable run by a man, and a man by a man, and a woman by a woman, and so forth and so on. And every possible permutation, woman by woman, the Gemara said, that shouldn't be a problem because they can't have relations. And the Gemara says, no, because the men who go visit the women and then visit the animals. And obviously that's, you know, it's terrible, it's uncomfortable, but that's what the Gemara said yesterday. There is a brisa, however, which is the problem and really is gonna be the entirety of our entire daf. The brisa on Chav Beis Amud Beis says, you can buy animals from Goyim and use it for a karban. Now, we know the halacha is that an animal that was involved in Mishka Behema cannot be used as a karbon. It's based on psukim, it's based on drushas, it's intuitive, as I mentioned yesterday, that an animal that was involved in such an act is going to be placed on the on the Mizbeach. Okay, so you can't use it as a karbon. And the Gemara is bothered, well, wait a second, right? Why aren't we choshesh? Well, shouldn't we be concerned with the fact that they were roveah, that they're going to have relations with the animal, thereby disqualifying it for the mizbeach? And why would the brisa say, without any problem, go ahead and buy your animals from the goyim? And when meanwhile, in our mission of Avodah Zarah, we talked about how strong a temptation they have towards Mishka Behema. Okay, that's the question. Okay, so it's really a Mishnah against a brisa. Plain and simple. So yesterday we went through one answer of the Gemara, and the one answer of the Gemara that we saw yesterday was that there's a difference between animals that they own and animals that we own. Animals that we own, they have a temptation and there's very little inhibition. Right? Well, you know, what does he care if I sleep with his animal? But if it's their own animal, so then they're going to be inhibited. Why? Because by sleeping with the animal, you're a me'aker, the animal. You, if it's a female animal, you're going to sterilize the animal. If it's a male animal, you're going to weaken it. Right? Even a female animal who has relations with the animal is going to follow it all the time, and that's embarrassing. So in other words, there is when they own the animal, there are natural inhibitions, financial inhibitions, I should say, that would prevent them from having relations with their own animal. And so therefore, when you go and you purchase animal from them, because of those financial inhibitions, so therefore you can assume that the animal that you're buying from them is not involved in Mishkav Zachar. That's the answer that we saw yesterday, and that was yesterday. So today, in today's daf, we're going to see two more answers to this question, Ravina and Rabbi Pedas. Okay? But before we do that, however, Ibailahu. The Gemara asks the following question. We're 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Chav Beis Amud Beis. Ibailahu Ofos Mai. We talked about their proclivity towards Mishkav Behema, and the Gemara now wants to know, is the same thing true regarding birds? Right? Birds as well. So, and the question I guess would be, meaning as uncomfortable as we're about to, as I'm about to be, the question is about to be is, right, can I, maybe the question here is twofold. Can I stable birds by them? I don't know, you don't stable birds, right? But can I entrust them with my birds? Maybe the other question, the other side of the question would be, can I buy birds from them for the Mizbeach? So Ibailu offers my Tashma, Damar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chanini. Ani ra'isi ove kocham shalakach ives min ashok rava chan katzala va'achla. So I saw an idolater in the marketplace, and he went to, in the marketplace, I saw him rovea the bird, have bestiality with the bird, then choke the bird, then roast the bird, and then eat the bird. Okay, delicious. Va'amar Rav Yirmiyah Midifti, ani ra'iti aravi echad, another first-hand account. I saw an aravi, shalakach yarech min ashok, he took a thigh from the marketplace, so it's just a piece of meat. V'chalkach ba'kadei revia ravat salava achla. And again, he committed an act of, I don't know what to call it, it's not bestiality, let's just not even give it a name. So, etzala, and then he roasted it, va'achla, and he ate it. And so, once again, you see very clearly that there is a tremendous temptation they have for all types of animals, birds included, from this first-hand account that we see over here. And consequently, the same chashash we have for animals is going to be the same chashash that we have for birds as well. There is a... It's a funny Tosfos on the bottom of the Amud. It's uncharacteristic, but Tosfos says, right, the Gemara yesterday ended off by saying, Chaviv alem behemtam sheyisrael, that when it comes to this Revi and their Yetzahara for Revia, they have a stronger Yetzahara for Revia than they have for their own wives. So Tosfos writes, Lo nodolari meecha nafke ikar davazer. The Re says, I don't know where this comes from. Meaning, the Gemara says it. Usually the Gemara has some sort of source, some sort of Masorah, some sort of tradition, and the Gemara just says it, right? In fact, the Gemara says, Amar Mar, right? The Master said. Like, where does this come from? Where's the Masorah for this? And I don't, right? The Re just wants to know, like, where's the origins? Okay, back to Gemara. Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph now. Okay, so the structure of today's Gemara is very straightforward. Mishnah against the Braisa, and how to resolve the two. Mishnah says, you can't stable your animal because they're going to have relations with your animal. Braisa says, you can buy animals from them for your karbanos, not a problem. Don't worry about them having Mishkav Zachor. Okay, so how do I resolve the two? So the first answer was yesterday's daf. The difference between an animal that they own versus an animal you own. They own an animal, they're not going to want to ruin the animal. Therefore, they want to have relations. Animals that you own, and you stable it by them, they're not going to be inhibited. Second answer of the day. Ravina amalokasha ha lechatchila hadiavad. There's a difference between lechatchila versus bidiavad. Now, lechatchila versus bidiavad over here does not mean what it traditionally means. Lechatchila bidiavad usually means, right, a priori versus post facto. And I don't even know what either word means. But, right, it's just, you know, these are the words they use. But lechatchila usually means, typically means, what's the best way to do it? And bidiyavid means, okay, now what if I did it a certain way? But post facto. That's not what it means over here. Rashi says, right? Similar, but not exactly. Right, I'll just paraphrase. Rashi says lechatchila means for the future, and bidiyavid means, I'm sorry, for the past, and bidiyavid means from this point forward. Right? Meaning, let's take a look at the Gemara. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ravina mehadel etrusim asisun abraisa del el. Right? Ravina is doing what we've been trying to do, and that is resolve the Mishnah versus abraisa. La'olam chashidu masnisun lechatchila kitani de'in ma'amida mishum dilma ravala. Look, in our Mishnah's concern, lechatchila means don't stable your animals over there because you should generally be concerned. Abraisa diktani enchoshishim mishum ravah mishum nirva di'evad mishum l'sha'avar kabayis l'misrei dilma kvar ravah ulekvar ravah lo chayshinan. Right? As far as judging, did it happen? No, you don't have to assume it happened. Will it happen? I have to be concerned. Right? It's a little twist of what lechatchila b'dieved normally means. Right? If I'm worried about it happening, I should worry. As to the question of did it happen? No, probably didn't happen. Not probably. Didn't happen. And so therefore, to stable my animal by them, so Ravina says, that's a question of they may end up in the future having relations. I got to worry about that. Buying the animal from them for a carbon, that's the question of did they have relations? No, they didn't. Okay, and Umenat Tamar, this is a big chiddush, right? The question of will it happen versus did it happen? Umenat Tamar, Deshanim Ben Lachatchila Ben L'Dieved, did none. And I'll prove to you that this is absolutely correct. Because let's go back to our Mishnah. A woman cannot seclude herself with them because they are chashed al harayos, very minu. And the Gemara says, and on that, and our Mishnah, we could pose against it another Mishnah. Let's say a woman is taken captive by Ovei Kochavim. An idolater takes her captive. So the Mishnah in Ksufa says it depends why she's being taken captive. If it's a money issue, so muteres laba'ala. Meaning to say like this, she owes money. She hasn't been paying. Okay, grab her, take her. And they held her captive. So, muteres laba'ala. When she comes home, she becomes permissible to her husband. I'll explain what that means in just a moment. Ayide nefashos, if however they take her because she's chayev Misa, she did some sort of capital crime, and they're taking her for some sort of capital crime. Asura labala, she becomes forbidden to her husband. Okay. Now, I'll get to the details in just a moment, but let's just deal with the structure of the Gemara. We said our Mishnah says that we're worried about Arias. Right? A woman cannot seclude herself with an idolater because we're worried about Arias. The Mishnah in Ksuva says that once it happened, she can go back home to her husband. Right? Oh, okay, fine. So what do you see? It depends what question you're asking. Are you asking the question of, should we worry for the future? Yeah, you should. Once it happened, do you need to worry? No, you don't. Right? So you see that such a difference exists. So this supports Ravina's theory that there's a difference between should we worry for the future versus now that it happened, do we need to worry for what happened in the past? Okay. Now, let's spend a couple of moments talking about this Mishnah Ksuvos. Mishnah Ksuvos says that a woman's taken captive, if it's over money, she can go back to her husband. If it's over a capital crime, she can't go back to her husband. So Rashi offers two pshatim over here, and Rashi rejects the second pshat, and Rashi sticks with his first pshat. What's Rashi's struggle? What are we talking about over here? An Ashes Yisrael or an Ashes Kohen? Okay? If we're talking about an Ashes Kohen, the wife of a Kohen, so unfortunately, doesn't matter whether it was willing or forced relations, she becomes prohibited to her husband. As opposed to if we're talking about Ashes Yisrael, the wife of Yisrael, she only becomes forbidden to her husband only if she has willing relations with her captor. Okay? Rashi maintains over here, we're talking about Ashes Yisrael, not an Ashes Kohen. Okay. Therefore, think about it now, because that means the following. That what we're saying now is that if she's taken from Mammon, right, she's not going to have willing relations with her captor. Right? She's not going to want to. And the captor's not going to want to hurt her, because the captor really, he wants money. He's only taking her because of money. So for money, he's not going to want to have relations with her, and she's certainly not going to have willing relations with him. But if it's nefashos, so then, according to Rashi's first pshat, the concern should be that she's going to have relations with him, and willingly, right? And if that's true, so and why, in other words, what's her motivation? It's understandable, right? To spare her life. It's interesting because just think about this, and this is really a catalyst for a much longer discussion, which we won't have. But just think about this because, right? You could argue that that's a little bit of an onus. Meaning she's trying to save her own life, and in her mind, she's constructed the argument, well, if I have relations with him, so maybe my life will be spared. And according to Rashi's first pshat, which is the one he accepts, that's not sufficient grounds to call that ones, but rather that's still called ratzon. Okay, so it's interesting, and it's definitely worthwhile to think about in terms of the difference between what is ones and what is ratzon. Okay, anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, we use this Mishnah to show the difference between Lechachila versus Bidiavid. Meaning, should I worry for the future? Yes. Do I have to worry about what happened in the past? No. Okay? The Gemara says, no, I don't think that's the explanation at all. I think the explanation, it's all about money. It has nothing to do with past versus future. Teda. In fact, just all you have to do is reread the Mishnah in Ksuvos, and clearly you see the issue is not past versus future. The issue is money. It's all about money. Diktani sefai de nefashos asur labala. Vesulo miti. Tosos says, look. The Gemara says, look. The In the Mishnah itself, you already have a chiluk. You already have a distinction. If she's taking over money, no one's going to touch anybody, right? She won't touch him, he won't touch her. No relations will occur. If she's taking over nefashos, so then you have to worry. It's not about past versus future. It's just simply about money. That's all the issue is. So you can't use that Mishnah to support your theory of lechatchila versus bidyavid, because that's not the issue. The issue is money versus not money. Okay, v'sula midi, the Gemara uses this often, it's a punctuation. It means there's nothing more to talk about this, right? The categorically cannot be used as a proof of lechatchila versus bidyavid. If the Gemara reject Ravina, I'm not sure. I think the Gemara just rejected the proof that Ravina was using. I don't think, right, it doesn't seem like the Gemara is rejecting Ravina out of hand. Okay. Answer number three. Again, the Mishnah says that you can't park your animals by the Goyim because they're Roveah. Because they have this unbelievable desire for Revia. Meanwhile, you can buy animals from Goyim without any concern of Revia. Okay? That's what the Braisa said. So how do I work the Mishnah with the Braisa? So answer number one, my animal versus animal. Answer number two, past versus future. Okay? Answer number three, we're about to start. Rabbi Pedas. Rabbi Pedas amalokasha ha Rabbi Elazar ha Rabbanan ditnan. So according to Rabbi Pedas, it's a machlokas tanayim. The Mishnah reflects one opinion of one Tana, and the Braisa reflects another opinion of another Tana. Ditnan gabi paras chatas. Rabbi Elazar omer eina nikchas mena ovdei kochavim v'chachamim matirim. We need to buy a new paraduma. We just ran out of the ashes of the old paraduma, and we need to purchase ourselves the new paraduma. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you cannot purchase a paraduma from a guy. Paraduma can only be bought from a Jew. Okay, and the Chachamim say no. Paraduma can be bought from anyone. Can be bought from a guy as well. What is the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? My la b'hakem iflagi. The Rabbi Elazar savor chayshinan l'revia. V'rabbanan savor lo chayshinan l'revia. So the Gemara says, I know what the machlokus is. It's all about this very concern. Are we worried about revia? Are we not worried about revia? According to Rabbi Elazar, we are. So in other words, I can't buy a paraduma from them because I'm concerned that the Ovei Kochavim had relations with the animal. Consequently, the animal is disqualified for the paraduma. And the Chachamim say, I'm not concerned. So this machlokas and paraduma is the explanation of the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. It is a stira, right? There's no, we're not resolving it. We're just simply saying it's a machlokas between the Tanaim. The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe there's another way to explain the machlokas in the Mishnah in Parah, in terms of whether or not you're allowed to buy your paraduma from a non-Jew. Maybe the machlokas is something else. The Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hiniach Alem Ora Shel Sakin. Right? Is that Ora or Oda? Oda. Oda shall sakim psula. Uve egla achitim shoch ba. Okay? By paraduma, as well as egla rufa, you can't work the animal. Right? There's a prohibition in the Torah that you're not allowed to work the paraduma nor the egla rufa. They're a little bit different from one another. We're about to highlight the difference in just a moment. But the common denominator is that you're not allowed to work either animal. And the consequence of doing so is that it becomes puzzle for paraduma and for egla rufa respectively. Good. So Rav Yehuda Marav says, working the animal, even a nominal amount of work, the smallest amount of work, disqualifies it. So for the paraduma, all you have to do is put empty sackcloths on top of the animal, that's work. And you violate the lo aleha ol, and consequently the animal cannot be used for the paraduma. By the egla arufa, you just need one more component, and that's meshicha. In other words, you have to put it on the animal, and you have to pull the animal while it has it on. It's that subtle difference is based on psukim. Okay, good. Anyway, maybe that's the nekud hamachlokas between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, having nothing to do with revia. Okay? And according to the Chachamim, we're not worried that they put any type of object on top of the animal, and that they work the animal at all. And Rav Elazar says, I'm worried that they work the animal. Mar sever chayshina, mar sever lo chayshina. The Gemara says, lo sakadatcha. Mishom nicha porta lo mafsid tuva. The Gemara says you don't have to worry about that. You really don't. In other words, think about it. When you sell the para aduma, you're selling it at an unbelievable amount. Right? You should be thinking in your mind right now the story of Dama ben Asina. Don't worry, we're going to see later on this morning the story of Dama ben Asina. They're selling it for a lot of money. Since you're selling it for a lot of money, right? So you're not going to compromise that. So you're going to put a little weight on top of it. You're going to use it for just to rest your empty sackcloth. You're not going to do that. So the Gemara says, "Lo mafsid tuva." He wouldn't do that. Nobody would suggest for a moment. Nobody would entertain for a moment that he would do that. Hachanami lemi mishum hana porta lo mafsid tuva. The Gemara says, if that's true, so then let's go back to your original explanation. The original explanation was, are they going to have relations with the animal or not? And the Chachamim said, no, they won't. And the Revelation says, yes, they will. Can't you make the same argument? Can't you say, well, look, they wouldn't jeopardize losing all that money? But the Gemara says, Hasam Yitzhar Tokfo. The Gemara says, no, because you're talking about Roveya. That's the Yetzahara. Yetzahara, you'll lose a lot of money. You'll stand to lose a lot of money just to give in to your Yetzahara. Unfortunately, we see it all the time. Right? That's it. Yetzahara is that powerful, is that strong. And so, you could have sold it for the Paraduma, but he has his Yetzahara for Roveya. Okay. So we have now our third answer of the morning, right? Machlok is seeming stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Mishnah says, we're worried that the animal will be Roveya your animal. We're worried that the Goya will be Roveya your animal, therefore don't park your animals by them. Braisa says, go and buy your animals from them for your carbon, not a problem. First answer, theirs versus ours. Second answer, Ravina, Lechatchila versus Bidieved. Third answer, Rabbi Pedas. It's a machlokas tanayim, as expressed in the Mishnah in Para. Okay, Vidilma. Perhaps the kuliyam lochay shila raviya v'hachar anitam de Rabbi Elazar kid did nishila my time de Rabbi Elazar daber al bnei Yisrael v'yikhu elecha bnei Yisrael yikhu ve'ena over the kochavim yikhu. Maybe the issue between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim by that Mishnah in Para is based on a different yisod. Maybe it's based on this requirement that you must purchase the paraduma from another Jew. The pasuk says v'yichu. Rashi says it's really, the Gemara doesn't explain this, but Rashi says it's really based on a kri uksiv, meaning you could read the pasuk. I'm not sure how to read this. Yakichu, meaning that the pasuk is not only describing buying it from a Jew, but the sale needs to be from a Jew. Maybe that's the machlokas. The Gemara says, lo sakadatcha. No, that's not the machlokas. Tani Seifa, v'chena ya Rebbe Elazar posa, b'chol ha-kabonos kulan. Rebbe Elazar says, not only is it a psul for the paraduma, it's a psul for all karbonos. According to Rebbe Elazar, you can't buy any animal from a guy for a karbon. Isakadacha kidini shila bishlam aparaksiv ba kicha. Alokulu karbonos kicha ksivbu. Look, if the nekuda machlokas is all about whether they're roveya, so then I understand. Because an animal which was sodomized is disqualified for all karbonos. So good, so now I have an understanding of Rebbe Elazar's opinion. But if it's all about this halacha that you have to buy an animal from another Jew and not from a guy, that halacha is only limited to paraduma, because there the Torah talks about the yikhu. The Torah doesn't say v'yikhu by any other karbanos. So the Gemara says, fine. Okay, so that's the end of that discussion. V'dilma ad kan lo pliga rabban ala de Rebbe Elazar ela bepara didamea yikarin. Ava Bishar, a karbanos modela. Maybe, suggests the Gemara, when the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar, that's only by para because dameha yakarim. And so therefore the Ove Kochavim will say to himself, oh, I have a Yetzahara, but that's a lot of money. Okay, so maybe for that the Ove Kochavim can resist temptation. Ava Bishar karbanos modela. But regarding other karbanos, maybe he would agree. Gemara says, wait a second, hold on. Now, to make that suggestion, so then we're really left out in the hanging. Because The whole reason why we got into this discussion, because it was a brisa that we learned yesterday. And the brisa says that you can go to a guy and you can purchase your animals for a carbon from a guy. If we're suggesting that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Eliezer, that regarding all other animals, the money that they're going to gain from selling the animal is not going to inhibit them from having Mishkav Behema, so then we have a brisa on yesterday's daf that is supported by nobody. Certainly not Rabbi Eliezer, and not even the Chachamim, and that's just... That can't be. That's untenable. The Alahad Tanya Lochim Behema LaKarban Mani La Rabbi Eliezer V'La Rabbanan. The Ode, so the Gemara says that's one problem. The Ode, Tanya Behejah, my Usvile Chavula Rabbi Eliezer. What did the rabbi say to Rabbi Eliezer? They quote a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Called Son Kedar Yikabsulach Ya'alu Al Ratzon Mizbechi. The pasuk in Yeshayahu describes called Son Kedar. Rashi says Kedar over here means Yishmael. Right? You're going to go and you're going to purchase animals from Goyim. And you're going to use those animals for karbanos. So, Rabbi Eliezer, what are you going to do with that pasuk? Now, I don't know what Rabbi Eliezer's answer is, and that's right now not important. It is important, but I'm just saying not for the point of this discussion. You see clearly from this pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Chachamim are absolutely okay buying animals from Goyim. If what you suggested is that normally the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Eliezer, it's just the paraduma they disagree, you have a pasuk in Yeshayahu, you have a braisa, which is unsupported by anyone, and you have a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which is unsupported by anybody. Right, either point, by the way, is a deal breaker. In other words, you really can't get past either point. But the Gemara points out that there are two solid points that categorically reject the suggestion of the Gemara. All right, and that's it. Okay, so let's sum all this up. We have now in front of us three answers to the question that we asked yesterday. How do I resolve the Mishnah and the Braisa? And for most of this daf, we've been dealing with the answer of Rebbe Das. Rebbe Das says that it's a machlokus between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim. We see the machlokus in Paraduma. Rebbe Eliezer says you can't buy your Paraduma from a guy, right? And the concern is, right, the Gemara made a number of other suggestions, but the real concern is, according to Rebbe Eliezer, we're worried that the guy is going to be Roveya the animal. His Yetzirah is going to get the best of him. He's going to be Roveya the animal. Consequently, he will be disqualified for the Paraduma, and therefore you can't buy from him. And it's going to be the same Rabbi Eliezer who in our Mishnah says you can't park your animals by the Goyim because their Yetzirah is too strong and the Yetzirah is going to get the best of them. Meanwhile, the Chachamim say you are allowed to purchase your animal from the Goy for your Paraduma, and he's going to resist. He's going to resist his Yetzirah. And that's true regarding the Paraduma. As the Gemara has just pointed out, it's true by all other Karbanos as well. The Braisa on the previous page is therefore going to be supported by the Chachamim's opinion. And it would seem, although the Gemara does not make this point, although it's pretty clear from the structure of the Gemara that this is the direction we're going, that the Chachamim disagree with our Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. Right? That's what it would seem. That's the whole point of Rabbi Pedas, that the Mishnah and the Braisa are the Machlokas Tanayim. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, it would seem that it would be okay to park your animals in the stable of Ovi Kochavim. They're going to resist their temptation of Mishka Behema, knowing that it's your animal, and if you catch him, you're going to, I don't know, I guess take him to court, something like that. But that's the way it would seem. Okay. Now, Gemara starts a new discussion. Paraduma. Okay, remainder of today is going to be dedicated to the discussion of Paraduma. It's clear from all this that if you know that the Ovi Kochavim, or for that matter anybody, but if the Ovi Kochavim sodomize the animal cannot be used for a Paraduma. Okay, correct? That's obvious. This question comes up a number of times throughout the Gemara. When we talk about our Paraduma, is a Paraduma carbon? Huh?
Yeah.
It should be, right? The answer, you should be confused by that question. Because the Paraduma is confusing. I don't put it on the Mizbeach. It's not, right? It's confusing. It's a confusing question. Because I don't offer it on the Mizbeach. I don't shecht in the Beis HaMikdash. I shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. Right? It's not, right? None of the animals brought on the Mizbeach. I just burned the whole animal. The entire animal from...
It's used for service, though. That's it.
Okay, oh, it facilitates, it definitely allows service to be done. No, that's exactly the point. In other words, it is confusing. Is it a carbon? Is it not a carbon? Right?
Could be.
Could be. Right? I don't know. So, but here's what I know. By a carbon, an animal sodomized, so the animal cannot be used as a carbon, that's clear. That's based on psukim, that's clear. Para aduma? If para aduma is a carbon, so then I understand. But is para aduma a carbon? So that takes us to the next part of today's discussion. If there was definitely revia going on, so then it, the animal, is disqualified for the paraduma. So it seems very clearly now that if we're going to categorize, we're going to put paraduma under the category of kachim isbeach. Right? We talk about two different levels of kachim, kachim bedekabayis, versus kachem mizbeach. Kachem bedekabayis just simply means anything used for the Beis HaMikdash, or the Beis HaMikdash can just turn around and sell it. The paraduma, if it's kachem mizbeach, if it's kachem bedekabayis, is not going to be disqualified through revia. You sell it, or maybe even still use it. Maybe. Right? But if it's kachem mizbeach, so then, yeah. It seems that from the fact that we clearly will disqualify it through revia, which is that seems to be a clear assumption, a fundamental assumption. So now, if you ask me which category to put it in, I'll put it under the category of kachem mizbeach. The kachem bedekabayis mi mifsala ba revia. Revia is not a disqualifier for kachem bedekabayis. So the Gemara says shani para dechatas kaya rachmana. So the Gemara says para aduma is a hybrid. I will still maintain that it's kache bedekabayis. I'll put it under the category of kache bedekabayis, but the Torah, in describing it, calls it a chatas. Now, I know that it's not a carbon chatas. Of course it's not a carbon chatas. Carbon chatas, shecht in the Beis HaMikdash, eaten by the Kohanim. It's not a carbon chatas, but it's described as a chatas, so it is a hybrid. On one hand, it's kache bedekabayis. On the other hand, it has certain qualities, chatas-like qualities. So therefore, just like revia would disqualify carbon chatas, revia would also disqualify the para aduma, even though it's not kachim mizbeach. Okay. Ela mi'ata tipasa b'yotze dofen. Okay. So if you're telling me that it's carbon-like, and anything which would disqualify carbon, which would disqualify the paraduma, let's say the paraduma came out of its mother's cesarean. Okay? Cesarean, right? Did not come out the natural canal, but it came out cesarean. So I know that by carbonus, that's a deal breaker. Right. And that disqualifies the carbon. Should be then that would disqualify paraduma. V'chite mahachanami alamatanya. But we have a tosefta. Hikdisha biyotze dofim psula. Rabbi Shimon Machshir. So the accepted position is that it is possible, but there's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. How could Rabbi Shimon say it's okay? If what you're telling me is that it's a chatas, right, and if it passes, whatever passes a chatas passes a paraduma, there should not be any Tana, not Rabbi Shimon, not anybody, who says that Yotzei Dofen is okay for paraduma. V'chitem, Rabbi Shimon latami dami Yotzei Dofen v'lad ma'al yohu, and maybe you'll tell me, look, Rabbi Shimon, he has a different point perspective. And that is, Rabbi Shimon says that Yotzei Dofen is considered a normal birth. Right? In other words, you could still say that a paraduma is a chatas. And anything which disqualifies a chatas disqualifies a paraduma. You could say all that. And here, on the issue of Yotzei Dofen, we could suggest that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Yotzei Dofen is a normal birth. Right? How do I know this? So Rashi points out, the Gemara Nida tells us that according to Rabbi Shimon, a woman gives birth via cesarean. Mm-hmm. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's right. Anything that would apply to a regular birth would apply to this. Right? Pidgin Aben, Bechor, her being tamei. Right? We know that a woman gives birth. She gives birth to a boy, she's tamei for 7 days. She gives birth to a girl, she's tamei for 14 days. And she's tamei for 14 days, sorry. And then her yemei tahara, right? For a boy, it's the next 33 days. For a girl, it's the next 66 days. So you see clearly that according to Rabbi Shimon, a cesarean section, a yotzei dofen, is in fact considered Leida Ma'alya. It's considered a regular birth.
He would say the same thing with Chatas? He would say?
Yeah. So that's what the Gemara is saying. So, The chitim Rabbi Shimon Latam Adamar Yotzei Dofen Vla Malyu VaHaAmar Rabbi Yochanan Moda Yar Rabbi Shimon Lenin Kachim Sheino Kadosh. So the Gemara says that's true in the world of a woman giving birth to a human baby. That's not true regarding karbanos. He disagrees. Okay, Elashani Paraho Posaba Dvar Erva VaAvodazara Nami Posaba. So the Gemara says fine. So we're not going to suggest that this is Rabbi Shimon Lashita. So we're not going to suggest that. What we'll suggest is something very simple. We know a mum disqualifies a paraduma, right? So we know that. What we're going to say is avodah zarah and arayos also going to be a posel as well. Has nothing to do with its hybrid nature, right? And that categorically it's kachay bedek abayis, but the Torah also calls it a chatzis, and therefore whatever passes a chatzis. No, that's not it. It's all about the fact that because a mum passes it, so avodah zarah and arayos also passed. Dichsev ki mashkitam behem mumba. You see the hekesh over here between hashchata and mum. V'tanda be Rabbi Shmuel kamakom shenema hashchata enu el dvar erva avodah zarah. We know that hashchata is defined by avodah zarah and arayos. Dvar erva dichsev ki ishchi kol basar es darko el aretz. Avodah zarah dichsev pen tashchisun v'asisam lachem peso. Good. So now that I know that a mum disqualifies it, I know that also avodah zarah and arayos possible as well. V'hapar nami ho mum posaba dvar erva v'avodas kochavim pasli ba. Period. Good. So now I have a way of understanding the Mishnah in Paraduma. If a guy, or for that matter anybody, was roveah the animal is disqualified. Right? The Gemara suggested it has something to do with the nature of it being a chatas. And Revi apostles as well. Gemara says no, that's not it. What it is that it cannot have a mum. And part of the legal definition of not having a mum is a physical blemish. But also, in addition to it not having a physical blemish, it cannot be blemished via arayos, and it cannot be blemished via avodah zarah. That's also part of not having a mum. Period. Okay, adkan. Okay, we'll go a little bit further for this morning. Okay, go a little bit further for this morning. Gufa. Tanishila, my time with the Rebbe Elazar, Dichsid, Daber Bnei Yisrael Yichu, Bnei Yisrael Yichu, Veino Avodos Kochavim Yichu. Okay. We have suggested earlier this morning that the issue of Paraduma, right? Remember, we saw Machlokus in the Mishnah on Para this morning. Can I buy it from a guy? So the Chachamim said, yeah, it's not a problem. And Rebbe Elazar says, no, you can't. And the Gemara suggested one of the possible pshatim is based on v'ikhu eilecha, that you have to, the v'ikhu could be read in one of two ways. It could be read, you purchase it from a Jew, and v'yakichu, and has to be sold by a Jew. Okay. The Gemara suggests, is that really the way to understand it? Elamiata. Da'abel b'nei yisrael v'ikhu li tshuma. Hachi d'bnei yisrael yichu v'eino v'dukhav nichu. V'chite mahachinami. The Gemara says, is that true? V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay. And the Gemara says, whenever we accept anything from a... it's just simply not true. That things have to be purchased from a Jew. Well, look at the following story. The story is told over a couple times throughout Shas.
Shmuel HaMelech's story. I mean...
Chiram. Right, he bought from Chiram.
And he gave them cities, and
we get
less more.
He
rented them cities.
Yeah, right. I guess the Gemara's, it's a good point. I guess the Gemara's answer over here will satisfy your question as well. I mean, the Gemara's going to give an answer for our story over here. Okay. Shalos Rav Lazar Adhechan Kibbut Ava'im. Okay, the Gemara in Kedushin wants to know how far Kibbut Ava'im is. You get to the end of the first paragraph of Kedushin, and there the Gemara goes through all the halachas of Kibbut Ava'im. Okay? And there is almost no extent to the mitzvah of Kibbut Ava'im. An hechen Kibbut Ava'im. Amar lam tzuru ma'asa v'kochav mechala aviv ashkelon v'dama ben nesina shmo. The Gemara tells the story of a non-Jew. His name is Dama ben Nesina. And b'amachas bikshu mimenu avadim la'efos. So one year, the people go to him because he apparently deals in precious jewels, or his father does, and they ask him, "Can we have stones for the ephod?" B'shishim ribu ischar Rav Kana Masni b'shmonim ribu. And how much was it? So the Gemara has two versions of how much were they asking from him. It was a lot of money. Keys for the storehouse was under the pillow of his father. His father was taking a nap, and he didn't want to wake up his father. Every time I go to this Gemara, I quote the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, look, if dad wakes up and hears that you didn't wake him up, and he lost a business opportunity, and you know that dad is going to be most upset with you, so the mitzvah is to wake your father up. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan writes.
That's why he was a boy.
and over here, it must be, the Aruch HaShulchan writes this as like, you got to say this. It must be over here that money was not dad's first interest in life. That the nap that he was going to take is going to be much more important to him than whatever profit he's going to make. Okay? Sometimes hard for us to relate to that type of thinking. But anyway, fine. But anyway, Avnei Shoam, I'm sorry. So, Meftachos Menachas Tachim, Rosh Hashav, Velot Siyaro. Okay, but what you get from this story, aside from a lot of halachas of Kibbut Avaim, is that here you have the Kohanim knocking on the door of a guy and saying, "Hi, we need to buy stones, right? We need stones." So you see clearly over here that they were totally prepared to buy avanim for the ephod from a guy. So you said earlier, "Oh, v'yikhu." Every time the Torah says the word v'yikhu, it means a Jew has to buy from another Jew. You read the story over here and you see that's not true. So the Gemara's answer is, Avne Shom Hivsik HaInyan. Well, maybe you could say the following. You look in the beginning of Parshas Truma, so you'll see, Viv, your Baal Kore, it's really difficult, because sometimes it's Viv, sometimes it's Va. But when you get to Avne Shom, so you'll see it doesn't have a Vav. Oh, so if it doesn't have a Vav, meaning v'yikhu elecha truma, right? And then it goes on, it gives a list, but when you get to Avnei Shom, it doesn't have a vav, because that can be bought from a guy. Okay, so it's the Gemara suggesting, maybe that's the pshat. V'ha avnei milum ksiv dahada arvei. So the Gemara says, no, I don't buy that. First of all, because the next thing mentioned is avnei milum, and it says v'avnei milum, hada arvei. That tells us that, no, this is all one long list. The Ode Kitani Seifa. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, I know that's not the right answer, because let's read on in that story with Dama ben Nesina. The Shana Cheres no de la paraduma be edro. Nichnesu chachme Yisrael etzlo. Amalahem yodeani bachem she imanim avakish mikem komamon sheba olam, atem nosnim li. Achshav eini avakish mikem ela oso mamon. Next year comes around. A red cow is born into their Eder, and the Chachamim come back in next year and they want to buy the red cow. And Dama ben Nesina says, look, I know right now, red cow, I can ask whatever I want for red cow. Two black hairs, possible a red cow. Right? It's not easy to find a red cow. I hear on the news stories about every third year about how a red cow, right? About how a red cow was born in Israel, and everyone's excited and good. And we're excited about the Mashiach coming, and I understand why people tell such stories. But it's not easy to come by a red cow, and so he knows. Listen, I know I got you right now, but I'm not going to ask any more money than the money that I would have gained last year through the sale of the avanim for the ephod. We're talking now about a para aduma, and the Torah says by para aduma clearly v'yikhu. So what do you want to say now? How are you going to explain that now? The Gemara's answer is Hasam Aide Tigre Yisrael Zavon. Ah, there's a Jewish middleman, right? You're talking about money laundering over here. We're talking now. We're going to talk about para aduma laundering, but I do not mean it in a bad way. I just simply mean that if it's sold from Dama Ben Nissina to a middleman who's a Jew, and the middleman sells it to the Beis HaMikdash, that's okay. And that's how we can process the whole story regarding the Parah Aduma, regarding the Avanim La'Ephod. I guess, Steve, this would answer your question as well, regarding Chiram, right? It was sold to a Jewish middleman, then until it's sold, that Rebbe Lazar is okay with.
So we're not supposed to buy from them.
Not the case.
Right, from the Navi, it doesn't seem that way. Look, this is, we're all trying to explain, Shita's Rebbe Eliezer, and it's Rebbe Lazar Shita, so we certainly don't pass in that way, that's fine. Just one last word before we finish off today's daf. I did well today, we got ahead. But one last word. If you put the story together and you process the story, Tosos says you arrive at a very interesting conclusion. For the first Beis HaMikdash, they didn't need the Parah Aduma, right?
Yeah.
They had a Parah Aduma that lasted. Moshe's Parah Aduma lasted the whole entire first Beis HaMikdash. Good. So if we want to historically plot the story took place during the second Beis HaMikdash. Good. Okay? They needed a Parah Aduma. They're in second Beis HaMikdash. Good. Now, go back and reread the story. The year before the purchase of the Parah Aduma, they were looking for Avnei Shoham, which means that they had the Ephod during the second Beis HaMikdash. Good, that's also not a big deal. How did they cut the stones for the Ephod? Meaning, I can't imagine that the stones there that they bought were pre-cut stones, right? In other words, they needed to cut the stones. How do you cut the stones for the Ephod?
What's wrong with cutting?
You can't, right? What's the pasuk?
Is it just that you can't use metal?
Right.
But they could use, theoretically, stone.
So they had the Shamir.
Right?
The Shamir. So Tosso says, it seems from the story now that you had the Shamir during the Bayit Sheni.
What's the Shamir?
Shamir is a worm, special worm that they used that was cut stone. They can't use metal, and you have to cut stone, and really the only thing that cuts stones is metal. So how do you do it? So they had the Shamir. Another stone cuts it. So if that's true, look at Tosso. So Tosso says it seems, once you put all that together, right? It's a lot. It's a great logical argument, progresses beautifully. So it means now that they had the Shamir worm during Bayit Sheni. The Yesh Tema, look at the last five lines of Tosfos on the previous Amud. Kaven to have a Shamir by Bayit Sheni, im ken lakamen be perek Rabbi Yishmael, gabe avni mizbeach, shishiksum achayav and depar chechin avid, nitperinu avanim shlemos amarachmana, nechatchinu perish babarzel shalolio shampigima, lo sanif aleim barzel amarachmana. When they were building the second temple, they had a problem because they didn't have with what to cut the stone. And the Gemara over there, we'll get to the Gemara later on. It's coming up about 3 weeks from now. But the Gemara over there is bothered by, right, the question was, it was a historical question, how do we cut the stones for the Bayit Sheni? Oh my kushya, li avdinu al yedei Shamir. Well, if you figure from our story, it sounds like from our story that they did have the Shamir. So it's an interesting...
Is it possible that if they don't have the Shamir, they just do what they have to do? I mean,
it's a possible answer. Tosfos doesn't go with that approach, but it's a possible answer.
Maybe they just bought the Parah Aduma so they can have extra Parah Aduma.
Right, but that, but no, but the Parah Aduma is fine. The question comes from the Avanim Le'ephod, okay? Which
you can cut with another diamond.
All right, I'm not in the business, but
no,
right. Okay, maybe that's a solution. All right, see Tosfos inside. Just, you know, it's just great thinking on his part, putting all these pieces together. All right, stop over here. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Matzah Kesbach Lezakri Sol Aficha Achir Bam Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Anaycha Feitz Lamanzi Ko Yagdil Torah Viyadir.